Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach Chamber 360, on November 8th, 2019. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. Normally joining us as co-host and the CEO and president of the Manhattan Beach Chamber, Kelly Stroman, but she's going to take a more active role today. And of course, with us normally, because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra, normally joins us, but she can't be with us today. I have to unmute you first, and then I can say, Kelly, how are you today?
Good morning, Joe. I'm excellent. Happy Friday.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great, good. It's a good day, and it's going to be the weather was just wonderful yesterday. Just a beautiful day here in the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's a little foggy where I am this morning. Very foggy, actually.
Yeah.
But
all right.
Gorgeous.
Some variation in the weather. It's not just 75 and sunny like always.
It will be tomorrow. It's supposed to be like 82 tomorrow.
82, it's sunny. Okay, wonderful. So, as always, I have a caller. I'm going to check out who our caller is, but tell us, Kelly, what's going on with the chamber?
What is going on? Well, you know, we're gearing up for Veterans Day weekend. I think, you know, Monday is
nice.
Veterans Day. There's a lot of celebrations going on over the weekend. It's always so important to honor our veterans, our active military, our first responders. They all make life, you know, easier and better for all of us. And so the Rotary Club of Manhattan Beach has a huge fundraiser and salute. It's more so, you know, a salute to all the veterans and honoring all of them on Sunday. It's in the Connecta parking lot on Rosecrans. Connecta is the title sponsor, very generous, and they support many veterans' causes, as does Rotary. And it's a huge craft beer tasting and Texas-style barbecue. All you can eat. All you can taste and drink with all the beer. There's a cornhole tournament, which I guess is all the rage and the thing now at events like this. And expecting about 500 to 700 people to show up. A lot of them will be veterans and active military. We're going to do, you know, military salute midway. We have a nice program. We have the MiraCosta Jazz Band performing. We do taps. There's all sorts of, you know, good things on tap, pardon the pun, for the event. It's really a spectacular afternoon. We have live music, fun dancing with Yachty by Nature, which, you know, they play yacht rock, which is a whole genre of itself. So This is our second annual one.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a lot of fun. So people can,
yeah.
if you are a veteran, if you are active military or a first responder, we want you to attend. And thanks to generous sponsors, your entrance fee has been waived. It is free. We do ask that people register on Eventbrite if they can, just so we have a head count. But at this point, if you just show up, that's good too. So everybody else, tickets are $35. We encourage, obviously, mm-hmm. over because it is a beer tasting type of event. But it's going to be a wonderful afternoon. The weather is going to be gorgeous. There's plenty of parking in the surrounding area, and we encourage everybody to come out and have fun and support our military. So important, you know. And if you're not able to do that, and if you see a veteran or know of one or active duty, you know, make sure you give thanks to them this weekend, because it's obviously all of them make our lives safe and easier. So it's so important to recognize them.
Yes.
Had a really fun ribbon cutting this week.
Oh, really? Who?
Beach City's Optometry, which is on Highland Avenue. They've been in downtown Manhattan Beach for years and years and years and years. They joined the chamber, and they simultaneously had a huge mural of the LA Kings painted on both sides of their building. This is a deal we've been working on for about a year and a half. The Kings came to me when I was still in my downtown role about a year and a half ago and said, hey, we want to paint a mural, a King's mural in downtown Manhattan Beach somewhere. Where can we do that? And I'm like, well, how big are we talking? And so we discussed it, and I immediately thought of Dr. Robert Stahl, and because he owns his building where Beach City's Optometry is. And
mm-hmm.
I said, hey, you've got the building, you've got the wall, it's on Highland where 100,000 cars pass through, you know, every day, and you're a Kings fan. Would you like to have a Kings mural painted on the side of your building? It's kind of a match made in heaven. And a year and a half later, getting through all the red tape, and actually it was supposed to be done last winter, but as you know, we had pretty much straight rain for 3 months, so the project got pushed a little bit to just now. It's been finished. It's really fun, LA Kings mural. There's a few players on it. It's a little whimsical, but yet, you know, artistic. It's painted on both sides of the building, so the north and the southbound. So if you're on Highland Avenue going, let's just say, from Manhattan Beach to Hermosa Beach, kind of in those directions, you can't miss it. It's really fun. It's just
mm-hmm.
south of Manhattan Beach Boulevard. So the LA Kings, Bailey, the Ice Crew, a lot of, you know, business neighbors and residents came out. And, of course, Bailey always steals the show when he's around. We had a lot of fun, you know, honoring these two businesses. The LA Kings are also a member of the chamber, so it was kind of a double celebration. And we cut the ribbon and had a lot of fun. And, there's a lot of pictures floating around, but it's always nice to celebrate more art in any of our beach cities. You know, there's a lot of murals popping up kind of everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big focus for everybody, you know. And there's a lot of Instagrammable pictures that are can be taken with the mural. There's, you know, a king's kind of crown in one place. If you kind of squat down just perfectly, you can take a picture basically with the crown on your head type of thing. So super fun. So
right.
Anybody,
right.
you know, in the area, it's located at 1103 Highland Avenue, just south of Manhattan Beach Boulevard. Check out the mural, stop, pull over, take a picture, and have fun. And, of course, you know, if you're doing that, hashtag the chamber, hashtag the Kings, hashtag Beach City's Optometry, and have a little fun with it. Super fun, you know. And then last night, I had a very busy evening. I went from the opening
yeah.
of a new co-working space called Control Collective. It's CTRL. It basically is kind of the acronym that says Collective. It's over in the True Religion building that's located at Rosecrans and Aviation. True Religion has downsized a little bit. And so they have subleased out the entire third floor of their building, and these people came in, converted it to co-working. It's super groovy and cool. Kind of, I don't even want to say high-tech. It is high-tech, but it's very
yeah.
of a European feel to it in the design. Lovely people running it. We had a big event last night with LinkedIn Local. So LinkedIn Local came. They brought several local entrepreneurs and CEOs and kind of had a panel discussion about starting your own business, which is, you know, what you find a lot in these co-shared working spaces. A lot of entrepreneurs
right.
that either are sole, you know, practitioner, or they ramp up and all of a sudden they have 30 or 40 employees. And that's the nice, that's kind of the glory of working spaces like this, is you can start with a little office of one or two and then quickly grow into a larger space. You know, all these co, you know, working spaces
right.
have spaces for one, spaces for four, spaces for 20, you know, and all that. So really a nice event, a lot of you know, different people and a lot of fun. And then I left that quickly and went over to Shade Hotel Manhattan Beach to join South Bay Magazine
mm-hmm.
and a bunch of female entrepreneurs who they had speaking at an event called Inspire. And they had a bunch of local vendors, people with jewelry, hair care, skin care, nails, all that. Morgan's Jewelers was there.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of a shopping boutique for all the women. And then we all sat down and listened to the stories of three different entrepreneurially women that are in Manhattan Beach. The first two, Erin Condren and Pamela Saltzman. And they told their stories from kind of their college days up, you know, through getting married, motherhood, and then starting a business, not necessarily in that order, and the challenges of, you know, doing so. And what was interesting, Joe, is none of them, you know, knew exactly what they were going to do. And I think that's so common.
Mm-hmm.
They were in college. One was an economics major, one was a sociology major, and then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, however they got into it, whether it was printing invitations, you know, for their wedding or for their baby, you know, announcements, or
mm-hmm.
whether it was cooking for college friends or, you know, whatever, they both got into their professions in different ways, but they're both doing what they love and have made quite a business out of both
mm-hmm.
of them. They're both, you know, they've gone way beyond the boundaries of Manhattan Beach, way beyond the regional. They're no longer geo-local, as I say to you and Jackie. They, you know, Erin Condren has expanded into several different states now, and it's very exciting stories were shared last night. So, and of course, South Bay Magazine always brings the fun and the glamour, and they did a great job. Shade Hotel always does a beautiful job. And it was another very inspirational evening with women in business and a lot of locals hearing their story. So that's what I've been up to. How about you?
Right. That's amazing. I love that. And, there's nothing to tell about me in my life right now. It's just busy, boring, kids. All over the place, Oregon, and other places. And, I'm just enjoying working. That's all.
Good. Well, you know, sometimes less is more, you know,
yeah.
Not having events to go to or something, that actually would kind of be a beautiful thing if I could have a week like that.
Wouldn't it?
you
wouldn't know what to do with yourself.
I know. Maybe spend, you know, a minute of time on myself and work out. That would be fun, huh? Hey, speaking of, there's a new business opening up, F45. Have you heard of it? It's like one of these new workout places that's popping up everywhere, kind of circuit training, a little bit of, you know, CrossFit, a little bit of cardio, a little bit of weightlifting. They
okay.
have a new location on Sepulveda in Manhattan Beach, and they've been doing free classes all week. My son, my older son, as you know, is an athlete and a lifeguard. I sent him to it and
yes.
came home dragging, you know, at 6 a.m. going, oh, my gosh, that class was amazing, you know. So super
oh.
fun. They're having a grand opening tomorrow with a bunch of different
yes.
people and vendors and, you know, photographers that are doing, you know, they have a bunch of, you know, all the food, the kombucha companies, all that type of thing are going to be there. But
yes.
They're on... I'll pull up their address. I'm sorry, I don't have it at my fingertips. But they are located on Sepulveda in the old cryo-wave space. Give me a second here, and I will tell you the address. But it'd be fun for people to stop by tomorrow. Here it is, 2001 North Sepulveda Boulevard, right next to Baker, California, kind of across the street from the Rubio's and Manhattan Bread and Bagel area. So anyways, stop by, have fun, eat, drink some kombucha, have some healthy snacks, and check out the space.
F-45.
I think it stands for function. 45, or fitness. Fitness. 45
function.
Stands for the 45-minute workout that you get. A 45-minute super high-charge, you know, circuit training. All the attendees, you rotate from station to station with, you know, one or two instructors, and you all have to kind of keep moving and be in sync. Everything from weightlifting to jump rope to, you know, the ropes with, like, the, you know, the CrossFit type of ropes and stuff. And but it's a 45-minute high-intensity workout. They say for all levels of fitness. My son came home and he goes, Mom, I don't think you should do it. You wouldn't be walking for a week. So I have not. I think he was accusing me of not being in shape. But I agree. And so I'm like, okay, maybe I won't do that one yet. Anyways, so super fun. So that's it. Should we talk about another local entrepreneur?
Yes, we should. And are you going to do the honors when we introduce the guest?
You know, I bet our guest today didn't set out when he was in college to be doing what he is doing now either. So I love these stories, how they evolve. So shall I?
Right. Please, Kelly, who's our guest today?
Joe, we have a returning guest this morning, Ed Lynch, founder of Michael's Learning Place. Ed Lynch founded Michael's Learning Place in 2001 in honor of his daughter, Michael. At the age of 2, it became apparent that she was developmentally and physically disabled. Michael passed away at the young age of 7.5. As a result, Ed has dedicated his life to creating programs that enable youth and adults with developmental disabilities to live independent, fulfilled, and productive lives. What started as a small after-school program in Hawthorne for 16 students has now grown into a variety of programs for over 100 students that include a second after-school program in Culver City, the MILE, M-I-L-E program, Path to Independence Adult Day program, and the most recently, Mikey's Cafe, a pop-up coffee and bakery service truck providing training and employment for individuals with developmental disabilities. This morning, we learn about the upcoming Santa Stroll fundraiser and, of course, updates on what is happening at Michael's these days. Welcome back to the program, Ed. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Good morning. It's great to be back. Everyone seems
Thank
to be
you.
In a really good mood on the beautiful weather we're having today. That's great.
Yeah. That's something to be thankful for. It's not something we're, you know, sort of poor in. We're very rich in having great weather days. But it's wonderful. And, you know, Ed, we've had you on the show before. I always think it's much more interesting to do, you know, a different angle, a different, I don't know what, something that would interest people even if they had heard the previous show. And so I'm thinking, and I say, ask him what else he might be doing if he weren't running Michael's. So my first question for you, Ed, is what is it that you did dream about doing before you began the Michael's effort? And then tell us how those came together.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't have any big dreams of what it is I was going to be doing with my life. And I think having Michael really kind of gave my life meaning, to be honest with you. I couldn't imagine doing anything else. I couldn't imagine, you know, working in a corporate world. And because of my circumstances, I get to do what I do. And so I don't look back at any of what could have been. I mean, I love photography. I love people, you know, entrepreneurial spirit. But there was nothing that really gave me a drive. A lot of people, when they're in college, they have a drive to be an attorney, be a doctor, whatever it might be. I didn't have any of that. I kind of, you know, flew by the seat of my pants, so to speak. And in circumstances of my life has put me in this position for the last 17, 18 years. So this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Okay. Okay. Then if you're in the right place at the right time, you're executing a plan that came to you like a bolt of lightning, but the plan didn't come all at once, I know. So tell us, you know, you lose Michael. You think, okay, she's in a better place now. But then you think, I should become a doctor. I should become a skilled, maybe even a skilled consultant with families on resources that are available. But then Michael's. How did that transition happen?
Well, you know, 6 months after Mikey had passed, I was given an opportunity to run an after-school program that worked with the same population. Mm. And what I learned from that organization, there are certain things we should be doing and certain things we should be not be doing. And so I always knew I wanted to do more. And, you know, got the smart people around me, sat down, discussed the plan of how we're going to do this, and just found a location to house Michael's for the first 9 years. We were at a church in Hawthorne. Had relationships with families, did our, you know, filled out our nonprofit paperwork and just started the ball rolling, not knowing how far the ball would roll and how much it would pick up along the way, like a snowball, you know, rolling down a hill. And it just turned into so much more. I can't say that I sat down one day and said, okay, this is the master plan in 5-10 years from now, what I expect Michael's to be. I think the thing about Michael's that's unique is that we look at opportunities when they come along and see if it makes sense for us to do them. You know, when we moved into our building here in Hawthorne, a 10,000 square foot building, and at the time we only had an after school program, it did make complete sense to do something in the mornings, and that's when the adult program started. So one thing led to another. And then once the adult program started and we realized trying to find employment for our students is really, really difficult out there, we started the commercial kitchen and the bakery. And then that transitioned to a pop-up coffee service. And then the food truck became part of that beginning of this year. And then, you know, trying to create more opportunities for our students, to create more awareness in the community, to raise revenue for a nonprofit, Michael's. We started Michael's Prints, which is a direct-to-garment printing business. We started that this past March. And it's, again, creating awareness, creating revenue, creating job training and employment for a, you know, severely underserved population, you know, 85% unemployment rate, and everything is wrong with that. So circumstances happen along the way, and the opportunities arose, and we jumped on the opportunities. But those opportunities don't happen without the community, without the smart people alongside you, without, you know, funders, corporations, foundations, everybody kicking in and helping, and then the staff that are doing the work every day. And, you know, it takes the community, it takes a village, and a village has built Michael's. I had a vision, and a vision is just a vision if you don't have people around you to make it a reality.
Right. We, you know, we talk to a lot of entrepreneurs on this show. Just talk a little bit about the gathering the right wise people. What are you talking about there?
Well, you know, as you grow your organization, so if you looked at the first board of directors we had, they were mostly friends of mine, people that knew my daughter. We had a connection. They were smart people, business people, you know, self-employed, one an accountant, an attorney, that sort of thing. And then Michael's has transitioned to such a different board today where we do have the professional people on the board that we need, people with financial understanding, legal understanding, you know, work with bigger corporations that support us. I mean, it's building those relationships and finding the pieces of the puzzle that you need. For example, we're working on the direct-to-garment printing business, embroidery business, and so we've been partnering with a couple of groups at USC to help us with the business plans and setting up best practices and policies and procedures. Well, I don't have that knowledge. But if you go outside and you look for it and you ask people for help to get involved for a cause, like Michael's, people want to jump on board. So it's identifying what you need moving forward, not just for today, but in 20, 30 years from today.
Right. You know, Kelly, listening to Ed talk in the beginning, an idea just came to me all of a sudden that when the chamber takes on a new member, they should arrange a meeting with the five top sort of areas or functional areas of experts that that business should have a relationship with. They can always choose a different banker or a different accountant, but they should at least meet with a single accountant at one point to talk about how they're managing the resources that they have and accounting for them and all that. Don't you think, Kelly?
Of course. And that's what the chamber does, is we connect people, you know,
yeah.
whether
right.
we're connecting professionally or somewhat personally.
But I mean an official, this member has now seen and communicated with the five functional areas of experts that they need to. And after that, well, you know, may their God go with them. But at least in the beginning, we've made sure that they've seen
and
the five functional areas.
They come with a different level of, you know, engagement. I mean, some have those teams totally locked in. Others don't. Others have a partial. Some people don't even know that they should be talking to an attorney about certain regulations or rules. In fact, I was just having this conversation last week with one of our law firms and talking about, you know, employee liability. And, you know, we were talking about how the laws change so fast, too. So, you know, we try to keep people abreast of major changes. And we always try to engage with new members, too. Just we don't do what you're saying exactly,
right.
Joe. I think that's a great
right.
idea. But we always do, you know, engage with them and get them up to speed on just the basic chamber functions. And then often in that
right.
conversation comes up other things like this. And then trying to constantly, you know, stay engaged with them too. We all get so busy, you know, the organization
right.
and that's and prioritizing, you know, because sometimes
right.
these types aren't a priority to somebody, even though they are starting a new business, until they like – it's a fire drill, and they need it, right? You know, then they're like, oh, wait a minute, I need to talk to this person.
Yeah.
So I agree.
Yeah.
So structure is good, and I'm
going
to push you on that. Figure out, see how we can make that happen.
Well, I think that the chamber has been a wonderful partner to Michael's Learning Place. I mean, they get the word out about who we are and what we do. And a lot of the times when you're a small nonprofit, that's what you need. You need people that can spread the word about the work that you're doing and talk about events that we have going on and have them find a way of
right.
getting more involved. So I've got nothing but love for the chambers. I mean, we're members for quite a few of them, and they all do a great job of getting the word out about Michael's and who we are. You know, we were talking about how do you get the people behind you to help you out. Interesting story is, you know, when I started Michael's, you know, the internet, you can go online, you can find your articles of incorporation and your bylaws, and you can get things to fit your needs and cut and paste and put it together. And then, you know, fast forward 10 years and an attorney friend, Ann Chase, says, you know, she donated a year of services to Michael's to get all our legal documents up to par. And it's amazing how that
yeah.
changed. Our bylaws from 2 pages went to like 13, 14 pages. So to have people like that
yeah.
are willing to help a nonprofit, whether it's Michael's or another nonprofit, is invaluable, because we can't afford to be paying, you know, the attorney's fees to put things together when we're just trying to keep programs open.
Right.
And that
right.
came through chamber relationships.
There's the business arrangement or construction of Michael's Place that's obviously very well done, but the other part, the services that you provide to your customers and clients, is uniquely holistic. Children, adults, work, play. It's very holistic, solving, you know, as I say, addressing multiple areas of the lives of people and their families who are taking care of them who are developmentally and physically disabled. So talk about the holism of Michael's Place, Learning Place. It's employment, training, and actually creating businesses to employ people.
Yeah, so again, because of the lack of employment opportunities out there, and I mean, we've got some students in the adult program that are employed out in the community, and we've got some wonderful partnerships now, but it was always not always easy going, and it's still not easy. And so the only, you know, thing that made sense to us was to create businesses, that would provide training with the supports they might need that they may not get at another job. But also to create the awareness so when they're at the food truck, when we have our pop-up coffee booth and people are interacting with our students, they'll see they're just like you and I. So when it comes to holistic approach, if you look at us, the three of us individually, right, we have a full life. We've got friendships, we've got jobs, we've got travel, we've got all these great things in our life that we all deserve to have. So when Johnny walks in the door, Mary walks in the door, they're an individual first and foremost, and they're not a disability, they're not a label. And so if we look at the person as a whole, what is the quality of life for them going to be? For you, what is that going to be? For me, what is that going to be? And then I think it's important to provide those opportunities, to provide the independent living skills so they can, you know, travel, train, walk across the street safely, go to the market and shop, understand banking and budgeting, you know, go to a job, have friendships at employment places, you know, understand proper hygiene when you're at a job. So it's the whole individual. It's not just the job piece. I mean, you know, if we were just to get Johnny a job and drop him off there and, okay, see you later, Johnny, you know, what about all the other components of life that are right. just as important? The social aspects that,
right.
you know, it's a lonely world for individuals with disabilities, you know, from schools, from being segregated to schools are over. Now what do they do? They're not part of a sports team. They're not part of a, you know, an arts team. They're not in theater. Not all of them, of course, but we need to provide more opportunities. And we need to show society
right.
they're just like you and me. Somebody attached a label, throw away the label mm-hmm. and look at the individual.
Mm-hmm. It's it comes down to a very simple sort of change in perspective, right? Developmentally disabled, physically disabled is one thing, but developmentally disabled doesn't mean that a person can't learn an infinite number of things. They're not just going to learn them at the same speed as other people.
Absolutely. And isn't that the way the three of us are?
Right.
You know, you and I could
right.
be going into a woodcrafting class and you may get it quicker than me or I might get it quicker than you. And so mm-hmm. there's these preconceived ideas because you have a developmental disabilities that you cannot do something. And that's why I say mm-hmm. throw the label out the door. Let's find out mm-hmm. what Johnny can do. Let's put Johnny into the fire with the supports and believe in Johnny. And then once Johnny starts seeing that he can have these successes and that independence, it's like dominoes. I mean, there's so many mm-hmm. stories of success that we've seen here, individually based stories, which is the reason why we continue right. to do the work, because of those individual stories. The
right.
young, you know, the
right.
young person with autism that has a hard time having eye contact, engaging with the public, you know, spatially needs so much space, to, you know, in between you and the customer to all of a sudden, you know, a year and a half later, eye contact, interacting, laughing, joking, remembering names, just like we do. But if we didn't throw this young lady into the
right,
fire
right.
with the supports, we would never know what the capabilities are.
Right.
And that's for everybody, whether you have a disability
right.
or not.
Hey, Joe. We need to take
yeah.
a station break. We need to take a station break. I'm keeping you on track in Jackie's
yeah.
absence. And then maybe after we come back,
yeah.
I want to talk about the truck and where that is before we get into Santa Stroll, because I want to talk about how much
okay.
fun so many of the Michael's Place participants had at the summer movie series that we had. And
yeah.
I think you know what I'm talking about. So,
yeah.
Joe, you want to go
on? Okay. Yes, I will. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you very much for that reminder. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show. We come to you every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. We're live streaming in the morning. You can join us on Thursdays. It's South Bay Spotlight, and what we spotlight is anything worth spotlighting in the South Bay, and that's a lot. And on Fridays, we're thrilled to be sponsored by the Manhattan Beach Chamber to perform Manhattan Beach Chamber 360 with Kelly Stroman, CEO and president, and of course, often with Jackie Balestra, my partner. So here we learn about any particular art exhibit, government official, government program, or chamber member in specifically Manhattan Beach. We're covering specifically Manhattan Beach on Friday. So please join us every week in the mornings on at 8 a.m. and Fridays and Thursdays, or you can join us in podcasts and listen to us while you're working out or commuting or whatever. Please do that. And so now that we're going to be coming back to the show, Kelly, what are we covering?
I want to talk about the summer. We had, you know, we partner with Street Food Cinema to do the outdoor mm-hmm. movies at the Westrift. And this is, you know, where 1,000 people come, and they sit on the golf course, you know, watch. This year we had three different movies. And part of that evening, the gates open at 5:30, but before the movie, there's a bunch of entertainment. There's music. There's a live MC that strolls around, but we have food trucks that line up outside of the Westrift along the golf course there. And these are anything from, you know, food trucks that are super famous in Los Angeles, you know, everything from the lobster truck to the mac and cheese truck or whatever, to local options also, because we have a few chamber members that have their own food trucks in this area. And Michael's Learning Place brought their Mikey's truck, and as far as I could tell, was having a lot of fun at each movie. The people that were working the truck had so much fun engaging with all the guests and serving coffee and cookies, and the MC would always come over and interview them. It truly is some of my favorite social media posts from those evenings. Are your participants engaging with the crowd and with the MC and being on camera? I mean, oh my gosh, they had so much fun. And it's great for them, but it's also great for the food truck. So, you know, Ed, can you share, is there any feedback? You know, when you guys have these events, you're so generous. You guys are always at so many different community events. You know, when you come back, do you guys have a little debrief? You know, did they enjoy it? Is it good exposure for you? Is it great learning for the kids? You know, can you shed any light on that and maybe kind of what the Mikey's truck has been able to do for your organization, but obviously for the community?
Right. No, I think all of the areas you touched are beneficial. The students absolutely love it. It's great marketing and branding from Michael's Learning Place, gets out the word about who we are and what we do. But I think the most important piece is the community awareness, understanding that our students we're all the same. And that's such a big piece of who Michael's Learning Place is. I mean, it'd be great if we could say the food truck is, you know, we're in the black, we're making so much money, it's not even funny. It's not really about that. It's about the awareness in the community. And then what comes from that, you can see in the joy when you interview our students how happy they are, truly, truly happy they are. And that's by having opportunities to do this. So the more opportunities we can be out in the community, you talked about the veterans event at Connecticut this weekend. We'll be there on Sunday with the food truck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We just think it's vitally important to also give back to the community as a nonprofit, not always having our hand out looking for something. But by creating
right.
awareness, by giving back to other organizations, the food truck has been absolutely wonderful. You know, we park in front of, we partner with Mother's Market on Rosecrans every Wednesday morning from 8 to 10, so we're there. We Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're at Da Vinci on Aviation 135th in the morning. We've got pop-ups at Mattel 4 days a week. Really, the more we can get out there and create the awareness, the better off it's going to be for our students. We have students aren't even enrolled in any of Michael's programs that are involved with Mikey's because they really want to get out there and be in front of people and be engaged and have a quality of life.
When I hear about the growth of someone who, you know, particularly on the autistic spectrum, who cannot maintain eye contact and is concerned about distance, and then overcomes that for the purpose of working, I see an amazing mentor. I see them as a mentor. They could mentor others about how they made the transition. And I would love to see them holding classes for others to talk about their experience because they have been through it.
Yeah.
I would like to see that,
you know,
Mike. I would like to see that.
Yeah, all of our students, so with the bakery program and the adult program, anybody that's in the kitchen has to have food handler certification. So they have to go online, do a test before they can do anything in the kitchen. We actually have a student now that runs that class.
Okay.
So he runs the health class. He does the updates with them. So he's in front of everybody, just like a regular staff would be. You know, again, he had a label attached to his name. They mentor. So when this young lady I was telling you about with the coffee service, she becomes a role model with the newer student that comes along and starts training in the cafe. So if something's not right, points it out, gives direction, supports them like we don't understand because we don't have that disability. So she naturally steps into that role. And it's not something that's taught. It just comes out naturally.
Okay.
And
okay.
To me, that's a great way to learn.
And if I'm thinking about that in terms of Michael's Place is a very special confluence of your talent, your friends and acquaintances, and this special place that we live in Southern California. But how can this model, Michael's Place, be replicated in other places where it's sorely needed? I'm imagining that every town, every hamlet in the country needs a Michael's Place of some kind.
I agree. At the end of the day, for any nonprofit, it comes down to dollars, right? So how do you fund another Michael's in another community? You have to have the community involvement. I mean, we've met with many organizations from all over the country, actually, to talk about, you know, duplicating something about Michael's. And again, we're not experts. We have a philosophy of how we do things here. And if people believe in the philosophy, then we think that's great. And we'll share information with anybody. So somebody came to us from Louisiana and says, Ed, you know, we found some resources, we want to duplicate a Michael's, will you help us? The answer would be absolutely yes, no hesitation whatsoever.
Yeah.
We don't need our name attached to it because there's enough, this needs to be everywhere. Maybe it's components of what we do need to be there, and then somebody else has figured out another program that works really, really well. So I think all coming together, best practices, egos aside, you know, and then remembering why we're doing the work that we're doing. But I think this can be everywhere. It just comes down to the resources and the right staff.
Wow. Well, I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited for the future, Ed, because I see this as something that could be replicated 1,000 times over, and still you would only be scratching the surface.
Correct.
Which is that's the need. It's crazy what the need is. Now, Kelly, we were going to talk about specifically about something else.
Yes, something really fun that Ed brought to my attention called the Santa Stroll. And I'm going to allow Ed, because I will not do it justice. This is something that is not organized by the chamber, so it wasn't a program that we brought to the community. It's something really that Ed brought to us. So Ed, do you want to take the last 15 minutes of our show to talk about the Santa Stroll, tell us what it is and how it's going to hopefully benefit Michael's Learning Place?
Absolutely. I'd love to tell you about the California Great Santa Stroll. So this idea came to us through a friend of mine, Linda Smith, told us about this event that she had started years ago for an organization in Las Vegas called Opportunity Village, who currently holds the Santa Stroll record of, I believe it's a little over 9,500 Santas in the street. And that's a Guinness record, I believe. And so we thought, how much fun would it be to do something like that here in beautiful Southern California, where it is summer all the time, and do this in December where people could still wear shorts and stroll the beach. So we went with the idea of let's just do this. And so the event is going to be on Saturday, December 14th, at the end of Hermosa Pier, starts at 10 o'clock. And it is exactly what it says it is. It's a stroll. It's not a competitive run. There's no medals for winning. Everybody that registers gets a Santa suit, a 5-piece Santa suit, when they register, and then they can bling them out as a team. They can do whatever they want to do with them and then show up for a very family-friendly stroll. And so our hopes next year is possibly to go for the world record. And I think we can beat the world record in Southern California. I think the South Bay communities have been incredibly supportive of Michael's. How do we get the word out there for more and more people to come? We've got some amazing sponsors. South Bay Ford, Connecticut is involved. It's just been amazing how many people are jumping on board for this. And so it should be a fun event. We hope people can come out. They can register on our website at michaels.org. What else can I tell you about it other than it's just going to be an absolute blast?
Right. Right. Sounds
so
wonderful.
Ed, this is a fundraiser for Michael's Learning Place, correct? You're the beneficiary of the registration fee, or how do you guys benefit from it?
So we've got sponsorship, like I mentioned earlier. So we have sponsorship, and then there's registration fee that goes along with registering for the Santa Stroll. If you register a team of five or more, it's $35 per person. The individual would be $45. Kids are $25, and actually you can register a dog to participate. And I believe that's a $15 fee as well. And that's how we raise the money for the event. It's not a beer drinking event. It's not it's a family fun event. We've got K-Earth running the sound and music there. That should be a blast. And then we want people out in the community, going to the local restaurants and having lunch in their Santa suits and creating that awareness about Michael's Learning Place and the work that we do and the resources that we need to continue to grow and do the work that we do. That's the unfortunate part of running a nonprofit is the need to always have to raise money to keep the doors open.
So this is
one event that we think would be huge.
So give us a we've got a few minutes left, Ed. Give us a sense of what that burden is. I mean, is it $1 million a year? $2 million a year? What's the burden?
Right. So currently, our current budget is just a little over $2 million a year. And we get some state support. About 60% comes from the state. And the rest is fundraising, grant writing, events. Individual donors are really the key for nonprofits to keep the doors open in the future. So we're always trying to come up with new ways of creating sources of revenue, like the coffee business, the t-shirt business. So we can be a little bit more self-supporting through our own contributions and not always having to ask for more and more and more. And
because Michael's Place owns their own building and has this structure in place, which literally, obviously you want the structure to outlive you and to
absolutely.
Every fiber of your being says you want Michael's Place to outlive you. Well, then perhaps people can also include you in their future planning, like bequests and things like that.
Yes. Yes. And we have an attorney and a financial planner that manages that. That's a tough conversation to have with someone, you know, when you talk about the inevitable. But to your point, I am about the long game. I'm about this being here long after I'm gone. If it was ever about me, I would have named it Ed. And that would not have been any fun for anybody, right? But we also have bigger plans. I mean, I would love to have a campus type setting. I would like to be able to expand what we do in a building and land and have space for us to really grow. And, you know, we're looking into housing at some point, and there's so much more that needs to be done. Yeah. And it can be done. It just requires the supports, right?
Yeah, right. Fantastic. A worthy life's work. It reminds me so much, although I won't get into it, how the homeless problem is never going to be solved by saying, "Oh, well, we're going to retrain all these people to be computer engineers, and they're going to get great jobs, and they're going to live in condos." No. We have to widen our perspective to allow people to live the life that they are capable of living and that they want to live. We have to create space for that in our society. So we will. Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Ed, I have two questions for you, very different questions. One, if somebody registers their dog for the Santa stroll, does the dog get a Santa costume of any sort?
There are no Santa costumes for the dogs, but there will be a dog contest for the best dressed dog. They will They will get a Mikey's dog treat that are made by our students. And it will be healthy.
Fantastic. I love it. Okay. And then my other question is completely different, going back to kind of the entrepreneurial conversation we were having at the beginning of the show. Last night at this Inspire event that I was at with the women entrepreneurs, someone asked the second speaker, she said, "What do you do? How do you deal with burnout? You know, when you, obviously, you know, running a business is not easy, and you're putting your heart and soul, your finance, everything into it. Probably comes in fits and spurts of massive tidal wave type of workload, and then it calms down a little bit. But, you know, when you are getting a little tapped, a little burnt out, how do you rejuvenate yourself? Because that's so important. You are Michael's learning place. So how do you rejuvenate yourself to, you know, so Michael's continues to shine?
Right. Well, I got to be honest with you. I hardly ever get any burnout because I love what I do. If I'm not at home with my family, I love being here at Michael's. It's a home for me. So I don't think I have your typical entrepreneurial burnout where it's, you know, because I have such an amazing team around me that make the work happen, and then it allows me to continue to create. But I've also been the type of person, going back to my 20s, where my time is important to me. So making that time, going to the gym in the morning, when I'm at home with my family at night, I'm at home with my family at night, and understanding that there has to be separation. And I think maybe because I've been doing that most of my adult life, I've not gone through the heavy amounts of burnout where I'm just exhausted. I go out of town. If my wife and I go out of town on vacation, I come back, I look forward to walking back into my building. It's like being home for me. And that's a beautiful thing that I get to do that. And so the burnout's not there. I mean, that doesn't mean there aren't days where, like, I'm just, okay, I'm just tired. But it's not like this emotional draining, oh, my God, I just can't do this. It's never been that. Never.
Right.
Well, I know
I've got a great team.
Yeah, no, I love that. It's really beautiful. You can hear it in your voice, too, how much you enjoy this. I have to tell you, when I saw your students at the movies, I think it was particularly the Bohemian Rhapsody one, where she was so excited to be interviewed by the MC. Her enthusiasm was just like busting out of her.
Yeah.
And I wasn't actually there for that movie. I had another engagement, but I saw the video and I saw it on social media. And I swear I watched it 10 times because it was like this, you know, effervescent tonic that completely rejuvenated me. Listening to her enthusiasm and seeing her face. So I can only imagine when you walk in the door to what you call kind of as your home, your second home in a way, that you're just immediately rejuvenated because there's so much joy in what you do. I think what you do, Ed, is just it's beautiful and it's creating, you know, happiness in a way for so many students, so many families. You're creating hope out there, and I really appreciate you for what you have, you know, brought to this community, and it's really fun to see how it's growing too.
I appreciate that, and you know, I'm appreciative of the community and everybody around that makes this happen. Again, it's not a one-man show, and I have to stay humble in the fact of knowing that without my support, this doesn't happen, and we don't even have this conversation. You know, I'm so aware of how I've been blessed and the support that I've gotten here. Again, Michael's needs to continue when I'm gone. And if it's set up that way where people have ownership and leadership in what they're doing, Blaze running the bakery business, Jose running the printing business, knowing that those two components by those two are handled, the after-school program being run by lead staff, knowing that that's handled. So if everything is handled, then when my time comes, I'm going to be much more at ease with knowing that it's time to retire. It's, you know, whatever it might be, that Michael's will continue the way it needs to continue. Mm-hmm. But it takes the community. Really takes the community.
Do you want to mention some of your other just year-round sponsors with Michael's Learning Place or anything?
Well, we've got a lot of sponsors. You know, local community sponsors, Chevron. Connecticut has been an amazing partner with Michael's. The new partnership with Mother's Market. Continental Development, of course, has been a wonderful sponsor. Raytheon has been a great sponsor. Northrop Grumman has been a great sponsor. So it's been, you know, the Rotary Clubs, the Kiwanis Clubs, NRG. I mean, it really, Mattel. I mean, it's the South Bay. Right? It's the South Bay. And so we're continuing to build those relationships, getting more people involved, a lot of volunteer groups. We have Sandpipers and volunteers a lot, Amigos, NCL. You know, we have interns from USC that come in, from Pepperdine. Mm-hmm. We've just had so many people just kind of take Michael's into their arms and, you know, make us part of their family as well, which allows us to do more. You know, if we didn't have the community and we were just, you know, running our programs based on what the state supports us with, we wouldn't be doing the things that we're doing. You know, the Amundsen Foundation, which helped buy our food truck, and, you know, they also built out our kitchen, the Rose Hills Foundation, which helped us expand our kitchen. And they both those organizations also helped us buy the building. You know, individual donors, you know, that have been huge for Michael's and bringing in their supports to believe in us. That's a wonderful gift when you have people that believe in the work and they see the importance of the work. And then when they show up here and they feel a part of, that's a beautiful thing.
That's kind of a mic.
Wow.
I think Joe, I know.
That is. That's it. There you go. Ed
but let
Lynch.
Let me point one thing out really quick for the listeners out there. We're having an art show on November 22nd and 23rd, Friday and Saturday. And it's artists from our community. So it'll be 25 artists with developmental disabilities selling their art, making money from selling their art. It's a free event at Michael's Learning Place. And the beauty, to your point of when they did the interview at the movie day, is the students never thought their art was ever good enough. And then when somebody comes up and starts talking to them about their art, and buys their art, to see them light up is a beautiful thing. And a whole variety of art, there's recycled art, paintings, drawings, you name it, it will be there.
Mm.
So if anybody's interested, again, it's a free event and it's a fun event.
And is that at Michael's Learning Place?
Yes, in Hawthorne on Rosecrans.
And
they can go to the website as well, and they can look at all the events we've got going on and follow up on social media.
social media and Facebook and, you know, Instagram. And we do a lot more with social media than we do with the website, because it seems like that's the way people are with their phones every day, as we're looking at, you know, who's doing what on Instagram or Facebook and maybe some of the others that I'm not too familiar with. But, yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah. All right. Fantastic. This has been an amazing show, Ed. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate getting the word out about Michaels. I appreciate the two of you for helping in that cause.
Always, 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 always. And thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, Joe. Everybody have a beautiful weekend.
And yes,
you as well.
Yes, everyone. And we do miss Jackie. We hope to see her back next week. Bye-bye, everyone.
Take care. Thanks.